Tweet at TodaySOR.
As lots of you have been doing as well. And one flavour of that about dancing in the crossroads. Text in from Alfie D and from Athenry. He says, I had 65 people from St. Paul in Minnesota dancing at the crossroads in Masshill in County Sligo last week, where their ancestors used to dance and they loved it. Maybe we should bring it back. Go right ahead and we'll be down. We'll send Marie-Louise down to report on that if you do. Thank you indeed, Alfie D and Athenry. Now, this week on the programme, as you know, we've been focusing quite a bit on mental health issues affecting young people. In studio this morning, Dr. Claire Hayes, she's clinical director with Aware, and Niall Breslin, also known as Brezzy, musician and one of the coaches on The Voice. Claire, Niall, good morning. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning.
Brezzy, if I can call you that, and start with you. You were 15 when you started suffering from mental health problems, but you were really in your mid-20s before you got, I won't say got around, but you got to grips with them.
Yeah, I mean, even saying getting to grips with them, I'm still... You know, I'm 33 now and I'm still dealing with it on a daily basis. It's just part of my life and something I've accepted. But as a 15-year-old, I think my something I can say, because I went through it, is I didn't have the maturity to know what it was at the time. We had no kind of forms of information about what it was. So the only thing I could think it was at the time, I used to go to bed every night and essentially, I couldn't breathe. I was choking and I was ripping my covers and I was constantly kind of trying to catch my breath. So the only thing I could assume it was asthma. I had a breathing problem. So I got sent to a breathing specialist, respiratory specialist, and they were like, no, your lungs are fine, you're fine. So I got more increasingly frustrated about what it was. And I got speaking to some other healthcare professionals at the time who put it down to puberty, which really wasn't something I needed to hear, especially as a 15-year-old. It's not a word you want to hear anyway. Kind of you look at the ground and you hear it. But that's what they said to me. And I got more increasingly frustrated about what it was. And I truly believe at the time I was in some way possessed. That's what it felt like. So ultimately what I was dealing with was generalized anxiety disorder and severe kind of anxiety panic attacks, and it kind of resulted in me doing something quite stupid and silly and something I do regret, the frustration grew and grew, and I ultimately ended up breaking my own arm out of frustration on my bed one night, and my thought processes behind it was, if I went into hospital, maybe I could ask in my head a real doctor what was wrong with me. And I went into the hospital and number one, they said your arm's not in great shape, which it was just clearly to see because the bone was sticking out the side of my elbow. And they said same thing. They plastered me up and said, listen, you're 15, you know, you've seen a few changes, things happen, hormones change. And I just walked out of the hospital, and at that point, lots of crazy things went on in my head.
Did anybody, or did you find it possible to begin a conversation about what was going on in your head?
I couldn't. In my head, it was just full of madness. And the really strange thing, and still to this day, and something that I decided to speak out about, was because I have an amazing mother and father, amazing family, great friends. I was captain of my school football team. I was in a band. Everything on the outside was fantastic. But I used to run home from school, like, through fields so nobody could see me. I didn't have to talk to anyone. And I was dealing with this privately every night. But at the same time, I was still achieving everything I needed to achieve outside, almost in spite of what I was going through. And it kind of grew then where I started getting very down and became an insomniac, which was really difficult at that age, where you weren't sleeping for days on end and then you had to go into school and pretend everything was okay. So as a 15-year-old, it wasn't something you should have to go through on your own.
Claire Hayes, you, as I said, are clinical director with Aware, the support group for people dealing with depression. How typical is what we've just been hearing from Niall there? One's instant response would be to say, look, that's maybe at the more extreme end of what youngsters have to go through.
I would agree with that, Sean. I think it is more extreme. But the difficulty is that parents don't know that and young people don't know that. And it can be very difficult to know what is normal and what's not normal. And I think for Niall at the time, if he'd had some sense when all of that was starting, to recognise what was happening, to understand it, to be able to separate out his thoughts from his feelings, from his actions, and very much be able to know to get help and to be able to take help, I think that would have made a difference.
Of course it would, yeah.
And that's what we're working for.
Yes, there's this Beat the Blues campaign. Yes. Tell me about that.
It's a wonderful campaign. It's every year over 30,000 students aged between 15 and 18 have a 70-minute talk from Aware in their school on depression, on resilience, on helping them understand exactly what Niall has said and recognising the symptoms of depression, understanding how they can keep themselves well, helping them not to panic. One thing that struck me as I was listening to Niall there was almost the fear as all of these thoughts were happening, and then possibly a thought, what's wrong with me? There is something wrong with me. I'm going mad. So the Beat the Blues helps young people actually stand back from their thoughts, be able to acknowledge their feelings and really focus on what is helpful. So, for instance, as we know, Ireland has a drink culture, but with mood, alcohol has a huge impact, a negative impact on young on mood. So helping young people understand that and looking at that, if they talk to one trusted adult, for instance, it's helpful. If they get some exercise, and as Niall again described, if any of us don't sleep for 3, 4, 5 days in a row, our mood is going to be affected. Our thinking patterns are changed. So it's helping people really look at that.
The Beat the Blues campaign, obviously directed at the youngsters in the schools.
Yes.
But what do you say to parents, Claire, who maybe sense that there's something wrong in their children's lives? That, you know, clearly the kid may be falling asleep in the middle of the day when they shouldn't be if they're not sleeping at night. So how do you approach that as a parent?
Absolutely. It's a really important question. And what we have found over the last 3 years, that the 15 to 18 year olds are going home and they're bringing the booklet from Beat the Blues. Some of them are putting it on the table and they're initiating a conversation on how they actually are feeling, what they're thinking and what they're doing. So what we would very strongly encourage parents to do is to inform themselves on the basic principles that the programme is developed on, and that's cognitive behavioural principles, CBT. And AWARE provides two programmes, life skills programmes, that I would encourage every parent in the country to do. The first one is a 6-session programme. It's a group programme. It's free, of charge, right around the country, called Life Skills. The second one is an 8-session programme that's online. And again, it's free and it works with the support of a trained AWARE volunteer. And both of those programmes will give parents a really good sense of the basic principles of CBT, helping them look after their own mental health, but also helping them recognise the signs, the symptoms of depression, anxiety, and most importantly, what they can do and how they can help their young people.
You talked, Niall, about how you have wonderful parents and your mother in particular, because I think your dad was away on army duty quite a bit. She was able to help you through this.
Yeah, I think the big side of it with me, the problem is with mental health, especially as a 15-year-old, one of the reasons, main reasons I recently, well, in the last 2 years came out and spoke about it was, as a 15-year-old, I was on my hands and knees hoping somebody would say something that would break this kind of, I suppose, the pain that you were going through, that something to make you feel that you weren't possessed and it wasn't something, and it was completely normal, and more importantly, something that was dealable and manageable. And that's the most important thing. Everything I've gone through, including, you know, the anxiety and the depression, it's all manageable, but it's not. It's impossible to manage it on your own. You can't. And that's the most important thing. And I think that my mother, she's incredibly supportive with it. And it took me a while to actually tell her, purely because I didn't know what it was myself. And I used to say to her, I'm struggling with my breathing and stuff like that. And the problem being is, on the outside, there was no signs. There wasn't any
signs. You were mean, and you're a big guy. You're presumably a big teenager as well. You were, you know, feeling the high balls. You were doing your music. You were doing your singing. And nobody could see anything from the outside.
No, and in a funny way, and the one thing I speak a lot to teenagers, in a kind of weird way, I used it to motivate myself in many different ways. And that's the one thing I talk to about mental health. We talk about mental health in this country, and we always put the word suicide with mental health, so people don't want to talk about it, and they put their head to the ground and they get a bit wary about talking about it. I talk about it in a very positive way. I don't put bells and whistles on it because it's hard. It's very, very hard to deal with, but it is dealable with. And I think one of the main ways of doing that was by, I suppose, exposing yourself, letting people know that, you know, if you have a physical issue, you have no problem telling people about it. If you have a bad knee, people go away limping and you can tell them, but you can't tell them if there's something wrong with your head, which I just always found very frustrating.
Claire, last question to you. The difference between fellas and girls in the years we're talking about, are there different ways in which their problems manifest themselves, and also how they're helped through them?
Yes. girls tend to have a more relaxed approach, I think, because they understand if they're having difficulties, because they talk, they can have a sense, well, so is everybody else. Boys, because they tend not to talk to their peers, might think that they're the only one with the difficulties. So it can be particularly hard with young guys to know, actually, are they experiencing difficulties? Because they can often put on an act. And the youngsters that I would worry about are the clown in the class, the ones that are in really good form all the time, particularly if it's not appropriate. So if it's coming up to an exam or if there's something difficult in the family and their behaviour isn't appropriate, the young people that are upset, they're worried, they're concerned about exams, I'm often not as worried as those as the guys that are very quiet.
And it's the ones who don't talk are the ones you should be most concerned about.
Sometimes it's hard to generalise, and I would encourage people to look at the AWARE website for the signs and symptoms and also lectures. There's a really good lecture that Dr. Sarah Buckley gave on depression in adolescents, and that's on the AWARE website and the archives. It's excellent.
That's aware.ie.
Yes.
And you're doing a bit of fundraising as well. People can text a modest donation.
Absolutely, we'd be delighted.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there. Dr. Claire Hayes, Clinical Director with AWARE, Niall Breslin, Brezzy, thank you both for coming to studio.
Thank you very much.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.